Hey, this is Josh and Paul from Jericho Woods.
And we're hanging out with Donald on Nashville Hits Collecting Dust.
Hey, let's get started, guys. Hey, it's Nashville Hits Collecting Dust. Thanks for tuning in. Excited this morning. Not only excited, but I'm like really hopped up on caffeine. So if y'all see me over here shaking, I apologize.
I don't know if this has any caffeine.
No caffeine for you.
Not caffeine free.
I don't know. Oh, yeah. Well, drinks that don't have caffeine do not exist to me. So
I've already had a pot of coffee. It's all good.
Oh, very nice. Well, hey, listen, we have Jericho Woods as our guest this morning. Hey, guys.
Howdy.
How are you?
Fantastic.
Hey, that's your band name, but introduce just like your real names.
My name is Josh Mitchum.
And my name is Paul Priest.
What's up? Now, are you guys, y'all live in Kentucky right now?
Yes.
So you drove into town just for my show?
Heck yeah.
Like, the only reason you came to town is like, we have to be on Nashville Hits Collecting Dust with Donald, right?
Exactly. We wouldn't have missed it for the world, man. And we knew you had LaCroix.
And other things. But yes, this is the reason why we initially came. And we just, you know, it for us, it's one of those things where I love Nashville. I could come to Nashville every day.
Yeah.
But it only takes us 2 hours from his house to Elena's house, our manager in Nashville, to get here. And then somehow it still takes 45 minutes from there to get wherever we're going.
So if I lived in Franklin, I would still be
2 hours away.
2 hours away.
I hear that. Hey, also a special guest, which is also going to be on her own episode. We have a guest host over there. Miss Adley Stuff. How are you?
What's up, baby? Good. This is great. I'm happy to be here.
This is awesome. Stuff.
This is awesome.
Double whammy.
I'm gonna be honest. Super Sick McCarty over there. This is the first time we've had a girl host. Typically, this is all dudes. And
it's about time.
I'd say I'm pretty excited because now I can just lay back and enjoy myself.
Right.
And maybe add some Kahlua to my coffee.
Perfect.
There you go. Can I get some of that still?
Well, I just want to make sure you're comfortable over there. You look a little intimidated.
Why?
Are you
okay?
Well, I don't know. You have a really very attractive girl sitting next to you.
Do you think I'm intimidated? like anything?
I mean, he keeps awkwardly touching my leg. But other than that, we're great.
I think she's confused.
All right. Well, hey. Let's leave them alone. Let's leave them alone and get back to Jericho.
Awesome. We should have brought you some... Buffalo Trace bourbon cream. That's what you put in your coffee.
Not opposed.
There you go.
Wait a minute. Now, we bring this up every episode. Everybody talks about either their... that our last guest was sponsored by Jim Beam, which was phenomenal. And I was well, you didn't bring us a case.
and he had it. So you know he had some.
You know he had some. And I keep mentioning on these episodes about how much I love margaritas. Kevin can attest to this. I make phenomenal homemade margaritas.
Here's the blender.
His sodium levels are like through the roof.
This is not a health and fitness podcast, all right?
Thank God.
Yeah, we're not talking about any of that. So I'm waiting on that tequila sponsorship call at any point, but it hadn't happened yet. But anyway, hey, thanks for coming in, guys.
Glad to be here.
This is so much fun. Kevin and I just really, I think, have the best job in the world because, we live in Nashville. We know how much talent day in, day out is here, comes in and out. One of the biggest frustrations I had as a friend and a fan, though, was how much talent and songs I got to hear that 99% of them never left the city limits.
And we're so much like you in that we look for those deep cuts.
Yeah.
Or even old stuff. Like, we found some Steve Miller Band demos.
Really?
We wore them out in the van. We're like, this is the best of the stuff he's ever done.
That's like finding gold, right?
Yeah.
Or like, the bootleg stuff and, going to record shops and finding records that you didn't know about. But yeah, like you said, it's such a machine, and not in a bad way.
Yeah.
But there's so many guys and friends of yours that wake up every day and they strap it on. You know, they go in and they work and they may throw away three songs that day that were fantastic.
Yeah, which always blows my mind. The ones that are sitting on the couch go, hey, listen to this. We just wrote this, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's amazing.
But somebody's still got to cut it.
And that's right.
So for us being songwriters, we write our own songs. At least at that point, we have someone, performing them. But it's like waiting around for that one cut,
Yeah.
And then once that happens, then they trust you.
Life changing.
Then all of a sudden, all your songs that you wrote 10 years ago are great now.
That's right.
And you see that a lot.
We had a guest in here that you may have heard of or know. Her name was Carly Pierce.
And, yeah, from Kentucky.
Yes. She had an amazing story. But one of the things that really stuck out to me, she goes, you know, Donald, even this song that's kind of taking off right now, which was Every Little Thing, she goes, 3 months ago, yeah, nobody really... I mean, when you talk about people that are in the industry, and but you get something that catches momentum like that, and she goes, now it's like everything I have is great, and I'm like, wow. But you know, that's a testament not necessarily to her or the industry. I think it's just kind of
I think that's where we're at. It's such a music is such a business risk.
Yeah,
you know, it's such a risk on their part.
Right.
You know, it's a huge risk on an artist's part, but from a business standpoint, it's like it's almost got to be a guarantee at this point for them to jump in and get behind something, or they can choose to get behind something
right.
and make it happen. But yeah, you know, it's one of those deals where a lot of people give like the bro country thing a lot of flack. You won't hear me say anything bad about any of those artists. You know, it's like, do you think Sam Hunt is doing anything other than what he wants to do?
Yeah.
You know, because if he was listening to...
I don't feel sorry for Sam Hunt. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't either. But it's one of those things that there are enough people that there is a... You know, in our situation, there is an audience for us. And it's probably not 16-year-olds.
It would be so creepy if it was.
It would.
Even though I'm the same age as Luke Bryan.
Right.
But
it's one of those situations where there's enough people out there for us to sing songs about things that we are feeling and are experiencing that I think they, you know, we just have to find those people.
Yeah.
And that's why you tour and that's why you play shows, you know.
And it seems to be the current hip thing to kind of dog on mainstream country. And I don't like the term bro country because, look, man, I wear cargo shorts and I'm a Columbia guy. So easy with the bro. I was a pretty good hacky sack player in my day, and I've seen widespread panic a lot of times. So, easy on the bros.
I like to think that I'm cool, but I mean, we live bro country songs. I mean, I live on 165 acres. You know, we got two big farm ponds that we fish out of. We deer hunt.
We sold our trucks to finance the band.
Yeah, you know, so otherwise I would still have a truck jacked up. Yeah, it's like, you know, so. We don't necessarily sing about those things, but when they're singing the song, that's what I.
I'm a huge fan.
So before we go on, I think anytime I can find a plug for this, I have to bring it up. And Donald knows where I'm going with this. But when you talk about bro country and Sam Hunt's name comes up, after this is over, I will make sure everybody sees the video that Donald is in and stars in, minus or with Sam Hunt. Making out with the female of the video.
Listen, really?
we will show you the video.
They had
a house party. They don't need nobody.
Here's the thing. Well, it was called Breakup in a Small Town.
I
know the song.
Yeah, if I have a claim to fame, look, Sam is doing fine when it comes to... He just doesn't probably have a hard time getting the date. You know, he's engaged good. Now, but let's be honest.
He's probably doing okay.
Yeah, he's done very well. But I will not hesitate to say that I took his girlfriend.
You were the villain.
In the video, I was the guy. That's right.
I had to bleep the lyrics just because of you, bud.
I think outlaw country is a misnomer.
Yeah.
It is.
It is a misnomer because what is more outlaw than him wearing like Nike Air Force Ones and softly whisper rapping over countries? You know what I'm but you know what I'm saying though? The only reason that, and I love Waylon and Willie and all them, obviously I love those people. But there were people who loved country music then that were like, I can't believe these guys are playing that stuff. That doesn't sound like the Nashville sound. Chet Atkins didn't produce that. You know,
crazy about Waylon. But if we sounded like Waylon, we wouldn't be making any headway.
That's right.
You would just be what's happening. So, again, I think in the same way that Garth changed country music, where he made it more rock to me, he made it a rock show.
Right.
The same way Shania Twain changed country music, you know. Oh, is this the video?
I mean, Kevin over there doing what he does.
Hey, has he got his sleeves rolled up?
I mean, again, we don't want
them
to make
this.
Sun's out, guns out, listen.
So maybe this is like that one thing that somehow every episode we do, we find a way to plug this. Like, every time.
Whenever it goes to a video podcast.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
It's just going to be on loop. It's going to be you guys and then that on
loop. I want you to make reference of the 86 million views. 80 million of them are me.
We totally understand.
Right. So Sam actually owes me some proceeds.
I've Googled myself. It's fine.
Yeah.
We're talking about Google myself, but we came up with some like heavy metal guitar player from England.
Really?
Yeah, with like scary, I mean scary, like BC Rich, like bigger beard than I've got. Yeah.
I mean, that was at least $13 in royalties.
At least.
Right there. Yeah, where's your check, Donald?
Well,
hey, I've got my song on Spotify loop at home right now.
Yeah, I'm not ashamed to say that. It's going on.
Don't touch that computer, kids.
It's funny because people think, God, they were like, you probably got paid a lot of money to be in that video. And here's, I'll be quite honest, it's not. I'm not going to tell you how much I made or did.
Like, you want some hot chicken, man? Look, I'll take you out to eat after this.
Right. But that's not the case. I still got paid to kind of make out with a really attractive girl. So can you really be...
Hey, we did the same thing. We got a super attractive girl in our new video.
Nice.
And the guy that was in it got to, like, you know, rub up on her and hug and stuff. And she had a boyfriend, so I'm sure he's, you know, he needs to watch out.
Right. Well, it's acting. I will say this. You're not really... really kissing. You're still kind of faking it. So
I would have been
one of the episodes.
if you touch it, it's on.
Well, if you make any more videos and you need some of those passionate scenes, I have experience. It's on my resume.
Hey,
so.
You got that? You got that, Elena?
Yeah.
Write it down.
Perfect. Well, that's awesome. No, I may be biased. I love Bro Country, and I don't care about the title, to be quite honest.
I'll say this. All those Georgia guys impress me so much because they've really helped each other out.
Yeah.
They're good guys. I mean, they all grew up playing in Rome, Georgia at the brew house together. And, you know, one hit, they helped another one. Another one hit, they helped another one.
Yeah. It's like Cole was Luke's merch guy.
Right?
You know, and it's like... You know, obviously,
Colt Ford was probably their golf caddy. He was a professional golf caddy.
Really?
Now he's a multimillionaire. Hey, God bless him.
Kip Moore was one of the professional golf at the country club.
Really?
See, there you go.
Right before he got signed to his punk deal.
So you know he was packing bags for some heavy hitters.
Absolutely. And as a musician, I'll say this. These guys are putting together the best touring bands.
Yeah.
Like, one of my heroes was Steve Marshall. He played bass in Chesney's band for years and years and years. Like, that's the tone. That's the guy, you know?
So, well, let's talk about y'all. I mean, all right, so we could talk about everybody else for so much. But you guys, I read something. Do y'all have you're both dads, right? Somebody, your father's pursuing a dream. God, who put that?
We laughed.
Somebody gave me that line.
So, two dads risking it all.
Yeah. It sounded like a safe auto commercial or something.
Or an 80s sitcom.
Well, hey, whatever works. But listen, a lot of people can relate.
My two Bro Country dads.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. All right, so I've always played music throughout college, you know, in high school and college. I continued to play, but it was like I was living parallel lives, you know,
right.
Kind of. And I did the whole, you know, we kind of had this conversation before. I did what you were supposed to do. I went to college. I got a good job. I got married. I had kids. You know, successful career as an educator. I taught agriculture.
Oh, nice.
So I was with all the farm boys all the time, but. But you know, I did that for almost 15 years, but was continuing to play music. You know, and there was a point where it was like, okay, this is really comfortable life that I have over here, but a life unfulfilled. You know, it's like,
yeah,
I mean, that Henry David Thoreau. You know, it's like, you know, I went confidently in the direction of my dreams with the blessing of my wife and my family and my kids, and I'm super happy. Like. I don't make any money.
You know, I've honestly never been happier.
Yeah, it's.
Oh my gosh, I got to reiterate some stuff here because I think I don't want people to miss this. Kevin actually interviewed me the other day, and that was actually one of his questions. And so, what I love about interviewing you guys, I think musicians in general are like the purest entrepreneurs out there. For a couple of reasons, you know, at least in business, typically you find a product or service and you learn how to sell that, right? And I feel like you guys have to create products just about daily, if not weekly.
Yeah, well, and you have to find multiple sources of revenue.
Right.
So it's like, you know, you were talking about, you know, we were laughing about the pennies, that there are half of pennies that you make from,
right.
from YouTube videos and things like that. But it's still a revenue source. I still get a check from BMI every quarter.
Right.
You know, it's like, and if I can continue to increase that while I continue to increase the revenue we get from other things, whether it's touring or products or merch. So, yeah, I mean, it's, we're business owners, you know.
Yeah.
And,
but let's talk about that, you being, or so Kevin asked me, he goes, what would you tell someone who, you know, already has a family, already has like those responsibilities and always had a dream and they want to pursue it, right? But now it's a little bit harder than it was, say, when you were younger and single, even though it's never easy then because you don't know the difference. But now I get a lot of people saying, look, Donald, I understand. I'd love to pursue my passion or dream, but I'm married. I have kids. It's, I have responsibility.
It's about perspective, though. So it's like, if I was in the same situation 15 years ago that I am now,
yeah,
I would have like blown all my money. I'd have been drunk all the time, partying, living it up, going all the, you know, and it would have been so short lived.
15 weeks ago? Was it?
Yes. Yeah, 15 weeks ago.
Wasn't that last night?
Yeah. Well, but that's the thing. Like I so appreciate the opportunity now.
Right.
That when I can be home and I'm super present. You know, it's like when kids get home from school, we go play.
Right.
Because when daddy's gone, daddy's really gone, and he's not coming home tonight, and, you know, we FaceTime and whatever. But it's like, you know, if I was 19 or I was 21, would I take full advantage of this opportunity? And I don't think I would. You know,
right.
I think I would look 15 years down the road, I would go, God, I blew it, man. Like, I had a great opportunity. So now it's like everything means that much more. Every opportunity to do what we do is that much more special. And you have to be married to special people too. So,
oh, good call.
You know, because my wife was like, you know, you better start making some money soon or this is over. But she let me do it, you know.
Right.
Whereas most wives probably would have left me by now. It's not out of the question, but I'm hoping it doesn't happen.
We were talking about the home thing when we're gone. You know, Josh sent me a text last night and said, I'm going to try to get concert tickets for Friday. And I was like, I can't go anywhere Friday. He said, well, it's Wednesday. I was like, yeah, I probably won't go Wednesday either. Go stay home.
Yeah. And we do go to bed. Like, we were at South By. We were at South By last week. Was that last week?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. And we did our jobs every day. We played our shows. We ate lots of fresh tacos and drank Mexican beer. And then at like 9:30, you know, if we didn't have a showcase to go to, we cashed out so that the next day we'd be ready to rock and roll and do it all over again. And again, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, I probably would have stayed. I would have closed everything down.
Right.
And I wouldn't have called Stella and said, how are the kids? I would have, you know, but it's never too late.
My, my family's still waiting on that phase of my life to get here.
You know, I watched a grant, and we also were students of the whole industry and of music and of people who are successful. You know, when I, leading up to taking off work and leaving work, you know, I watched everything and read everything I could about people who became successful. Ultimately, they all took the leap, you know?
Yeah.
But Jason Isbell said something on a Grammy interview that I watched. I think David Macias was interviewing him. And he just said, you know, don't let anybody tell you that you're too old or that you're not good enough. He said, we've said it before, there are enough people out there who are experiencing your thing.
Right.
He said, you know, he said, like, Cover Me Up was a song that was very introspective, and it was about me. And I didn't think anybody would be interested in songs about me until I realized that there was other people who were experiencing this. He said, so there's plenty of fans.
Right.
And there's plenty of ways to get it out there. So, you know, as long as you're happy, you're going to be able to find your tribe, your congregation.
Oh, my gosh. There's so much in there. And I want to make sure I repeat it before I forget it. So the first thing you said, though, is your perspective now was that you're like, I'm broke and I couldn't be happier.
Right.
And what you're saying is that your fulfillment and being able to do what you love and pursue is so much more important than money. And here's the thing. Not that money's not important. We're not trying to say, hey, go out there and, you know, become homeless. But, you know, your perspective 10, 20 years ago probably was money, success,
fame.
Get a record
deal and go buy a brand new car.
Right. Know? And now it's, oh my gosh, look what we get to do for a living.
Right. And any money, it goes in savings.
That's right. Gosh, that's huge. That second thing that I wanted to make sure I didn't miss.
We forgot.
We're like the anti-midlife crisis guys. Because How much do you need? I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm not materialistic.
Right.
I want to go to Grammys now and buy 25 records.
Right.
Because that's what I do. But
I bought a bunch of stupid stuff when I got paid every month. Right. And when I knew I had this many bills, and then what do you do if you're not like super fulfilled? You throw it all in that black hole.
That
is your soul. You know?
Yes.
And that's what, you know, that's what I did for a really long time. I was happy. I'm in my forever home. I'm with my forever wife. Yeah. With hopefully the only three kids I'm going to have. I think we're done with that. But I love them all, but I think we're done.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, so now it's like, if I make any money, I just hand it over.
Right.
I'm like, I'm good.
You know, the problem with that, us chasing and throwing things in that hole is that it does satisfy temporarily.
Just temporarily.
Enough, right?
It's like my kids' toys. You know, last year's Christmas toys.
Right.
You know, they were old by February.
And then eventually you need more and more and more, and obviously, and that's that realization that, you know, may only come with wisdom and age. I don't know. I try to tell it to anybody and everybody.
And there's only way to get wisdom, and that's to screw up and get old.
Right.
You're not born wise.
Right.
You're born smart or intelligent, but you only become wise by continually screwing up and learning from those situations.
For sure. Yeah.
And we've done that.
Well, that's great advice.
No, Dave Ramsey would be proud of you.
Well, yeah. You know, I have his books, and I do have an emergency fund.
Yeah, no,
but when I had a job, when I had a career, there was no $1,000 emergency thing. Yeah, you know, my wife and I probably have more money in the bank now than we've ever had. Now we don't spend like we did, and our lifestyle is different. I've tried to make sure the kids' lifestyle doesn't change.
I'm completely broke.
Well, but I am too. For
I didn't go back to work for 6 months either. So.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, now that we caught him out, maybe he can like sponsor us. And when you say this is our job, we would like to get paid
right
for this.
There you go.
Yes. Yeah. We're not getting paid to do any of this except in wisdom, which I don't there think you can put a dollar value right. on it, honestly. And, well, and honestly, value, that's why I do this.
We value people who are wise. The guys that we talk about when we're on the road, you know, we're very fortunate. We have really cool and grounded and super intelligent dads.
Yeah.
We both talk to our dads every day, and
I don't know if it's sad or if it's I think it's pretty excellent. I mean, Dad's my best bro. You know?
Oh, that's awesome!
I hang out with my dad.
You know, so yeah. And we talk about our lives a lot together now.
Right.
You know, he's almost retirement age, and he's like, you know, he said if I had to do over again and I could do some things like you can do, you know, I would have taken the plane. He was very critical at first.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? You know, this is the dumbest
Wait,
thing.
You're gonna do what?
Yeah. But he gets it.
Right.
He gets it now.
That's the thing about wisdom too, is one of the best lessons my mom ever taught me is to get that wisdom and to learn things, you don't always have to be the one to screw it up yourself. You can watch
pay attention,
friends
and observe, yeah.
Get, you know, DUIs or whatever happened like in high school and things yeah. like you,
right.
know, you don't always have to be the one to fail to figure it out. You can get wisdom from other people, from books, from people who have been where you want
sure.
to go.
Yeah, and it, you know, what is it? I'm trying to think of good quotes. But you know, like standing on the shoulders of giants. But you know, you be what, try to be what those people that you respect were right. trying to be. You know.
And hey, I've always said that if I don't have to touch a stove to learn, like I would rather not. You yeah. know, and you know, I think there's maybe some things you can learn without doing it. Sometimes you just got to touch that stove,
sometimes
right?
Sometimes you touch the stove.
But I've always said that when I was just in like sales and business, I always knew I was going to be a really great manager because I had done everything wrong, not because I had done everything right.
I think learning what not to do is way more important than learning what to do. Kind of that falls
right.
We
right.
get there, you know, but what not to do, you can save yourself a lot of trouble listening.
It's like
to the
in 15 years, I would probably be a great manager. An artist manager, a great record label executive.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably be a great booking agent. You know, but right now, we're having to do a lot of those things. You know, we're reverse engineering things.
And, yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean,
that's awesome.
Necessity is the mother of invention. We've learned to do these things.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you can't take away from any of that experience and its value, but I got these three questions that I ask everybody. Are you
Lay
ready?
It on us.
All right. So there's two of you. I may throw some audibles here and have one of you answer for the other one. But anyway, okay, we'll see. I don't know. I'm just going to play it by ear. The first one I'll ask the both of you, though, because I think this one's just huge. So knowing what you know now, and I would not say that you guys are old or not. You're not old. You just have a lot more life experience.
That's right, young. Yeah, I mean,
let's go. Hey,
bless your heart.
Bless your heart.
I'm not sure, but I may be older than you guys. I'm not sure. But anyway.
You have better skin.
Oil of Olay, man. That's, you know, that's what can I say?
Listen. It's tough out there, all right? And I don't have wife and kids. But anyway, let's go with if you could have coffee with yourself, knowing what you know now, right when you started pursuing music, what would you tell yourself?
In spite of how hard it has been over the 20 years that I've been playing music, I don't think that I would still be here playing music had it not happened the way it did. Had it not been hard, had it not always been a struggle, had I not had to live through some of that other life experience, you know, again, I don't think I would appreciate as much now as I did then. And so what I would tell myself is, just keep doing the thing. You know, don't expect it. We have a friend that says, however long it takes you to get to your highest point, you can expect it to take that long before you totally, like, fizzle out.
Yeah.
So if it took you 10 years to get to your apex, like mm-hmm. your most high success, then you can expect to ride that out for another 10 years. So there's a 20-year career.
Yeah.
If it took you a flash to get there,
it might.
It may go away that fast. So,
right.
So, yeah, I would say keep doing what you're doing, buddy. You'll be fine.
A quick follow-up on that, because what I basically heard you say, I'm going to tell my younger self that, like, be okay with it being hard and tough. Do you think your younger self would have listened?
I don't know. Hey, probably not. I probably said, man, show me the money. You know, it looks, you know, I did pass up some opportunities early on.
Yeah.
But I don't regret them, because, I don't think it would have worked out this way. So
awesome.
I think my advice to myself is a bit more utilitarian, probably not as deep. Kids, take care of your hearing. Take care of your... I can't stress it enough. It's not poetic. It's not profound.
Yeah.
Take care of your hearing. Never, ever smoke cigarettes. Mm. Those are hard to kick. And just be good. Practice. Yeah. Put your money in your lessons. Put your money in your studies. Those music theory classes that you hate and you fall asleep during... Listen to those cats. They know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So take more advice. Take more advice to heart and take care of yourself, especially your hearing. I know that's like, I was in here, what would Thoreau say? But no, I mean, you know, but you know, that, I think that's a huge deal. Just take care of yourself.
Hey, there's something to be said. Gosh, you hear a lot of things, and if people say the older you get, the more you sound like your parents, and then you try not to sound like your parents, but you can't help it because they were right. Dang it!
Dad begged me to take care of my hearing.
Well,
now I'm begging my little long-haired son with a Les Paul in his hand all the time.
Oh,
he's not listening to me either.
Right.
And in 10 years, he won't be able to because he'll be deaf as a post.
Oh, well, yeah, and that's true. Take care of your body in general. One of the things I didn't realize, and this is just me kind of having a front row seat with a few friends, is I thought that, hey, it's really probably not that hard to go out on tour and play shows, you know, all the time and sing. But physically?
Oh, man.
Like, you better be in good shape or take care of yourself.
Well, it's easy to not do anything. It's easy to just sit in a van all day. Get up and play,
yeah,
and go to bed.
And then go to Waffle House at 3 in the morning, which is not... Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a good idea at the time.
Yeah.
Or White Castle.
But if no road musicians yourself, do that.
You're the only one.
You know, if your hearing goes, you're in trouble. If your voice goes, if you're just health, the whole thing is gone.
It's all hinging on you being it like a pro athlete.
That's right.
Yeah. So do you want to tour and make a living, or do you want to play in a bar, band, and party all the time? It's your call.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first tour I went out with a buddy of mine, I was obviously not working. I was playing. And so the first night I go out, and I told him, I go, I was made for the road. Like, I was born.
Then day three.
Yeah, day two, I'm like, man, the road and me are one. Like, I just love it. Day three, I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, the road's good. You know, and then day four, I'm like, get me off the road. Yeah. I can't.
I don't even like denim jackets. I want to go home.
Hey, and pilot restrooms are nice, but every now and then it's nice to go to one that you know.
Yeah.
You know your wife cleaned.
That's awesome. All right, question number two.
Or I clean. Sometimes I clean it.
Question number two. What is the best advice someone else has given you that you've always held on to and kind of lived by?
You want to go first?
I was really lucky to work with some pretty legendary artists when I was younger. And one of my favorite guys in the world is about to drop a new record. He's in his mid-80s now, and he's still an innovative musician and a 60-year or 50-some-year Opry member and just a great guy. And he told me, he's like, they kind of asked me a trick question. We were playing the Opry one night, and his brother was playing with him, and he said, "Do you think you belong on this stage? Do you think you deserve to be here?" And I was like, "I don't know." He goes, "Did you say no?" I was like, I don't, he's like, "Wrong answer. Wrong answer. You're up here. You've obviously paid your dues. They're not. You're here. You're playing with me. So you are good enough.
Ooh.
You are good enough.
Ooh.
And if you stay after it, you're going to be just fine. But if you're good enough to play, if you're good enough to play with me, son, you're good enough." And that's all I'm going to say.
Wow, that was
kind of good for the old ego. I'm not going to lie. It was nice.
Hey, did you feel a change in like the way you walked, the way you carried yourself?
Instantly.
You may have sang the same songs. You may have went on the stage the same way, but there was a difference when you actually believed that you were actually good.
It verified everything that I had ever wanted to do in my whole life. It would totally.
You could have stopped.
I guess I probably no. You know how that is. You don't ever stop. But it gave me some justification. Oh, I'm not crazy.
Right. Yeah. Well, I hear that. Let me get it from my side of the microphone that will never sing a note for a living. But it is a true statement. And one thing that I try to say, especially in this day and age when everybody is saying I'm not enough because of look at what everybody else is doing, right? It's hard to go, hey, no, I'm actually enough just like I am and actually believe that. But if you do, then you can actually reach your potential, I think, right? But you have to believe you're enough.
Everybody's
first,
good at something.
You've got to sell yourself on it first.
Yeah. You got to believe it, right?
Right. So my advice was, even as a teacher or in other jobs, it's like everything is always political. Everything, you're always dealing with other people's opinions and you're having to manage that, your relationships and all this. And a lot of times you'll do things that you didn't necessarily, that weren't really what you wanted to do, but you felt like it was going to make somebody else happy.
Yeah.
Well, that's any relationship. But for me, when I got to 30, Dad was like, "Listen, son," he goes, "you're going to piss half the people off regardless." He said, "You make sure you're in that half that's happy."
Yeah.
And you can live with that. You can live with the consequences. If it makes you happy to do that, don't worry about what the other people are going to say.
Yeah.
And especially in music or whatever, we could all write a song maybe that pandered or that, we're like, we need to write a song about this because that's what's really popular. You just do what you do and you hope that somebody recognizes that. And
it's huge advice from your dad as well, because while it sounds very simple, it's also very, very hard.
It's pretty profound.
It's hard.
Hey, Mother Teresa had haters.
Sure.
I mean, you know what I mean? It's like one of those things where like, there is no way you can please everybody, but how many people do not pursue something because they're thinking about the people who would.
What are they going to say about me?
Yeah.
Well, that, and now they have realized and said, yes, it's scientific fact that, we can measure brainwaves. They are physical. So if you keep putting out negativity and you say, "I can't do this, I can't do that," you know what?
You're right.
You're actually right.
Right.
And but we try to put those positive things out in the universe.
Yeah.
It's amazing how often that stuff happens.
If we want something that bad, it does usually happen.
Hey, for years, I told myself.
Hashtag some stuff here and there.
Yeah, baby.
Drop some
names. You might have to pay a little money and boost that post, but hey, it's going to happen.
I agree with y'all totally. For years, I told myself I had great hair, and
And you do.
You have fantastic hair.
Where did that come from? What?
Well, I was hoping that Super Sick would car. You know what? When we have a guest host, I'm not making any more because he's over there asleep or.
No, I'm just listening. It's all really right. Good stuff.
But a guy that doesn't have hair, not by choice, but by higher choice.
Right.
The fact that y'all even cut it at all offends me. Oh, I would look like a long lost Allman Brother.
Yeah, but that's okay.
I'd be like Bill Allman, brother they don't talk about.
But I can't grow a beard.
Like
so.
Christopher.
I do grow a fantastic beard.
That's a fantastic. Listen.
Jesus' brother.
Hair's hair.
Oh, yeah. Brian Christ.
Brian Christ.
Turns water into cold Coors Light.
Yeah.
Tap the Rockies,
oh, those
Brian.
Are good right there. All right, so here's what I want on this next one. I feel like you two know each other pretty well.
It's my cousin.
Is that a safe bet?
It's a Kentucky thing.
All right.
So we're all cousins in Kentucky.
That's true. So here's what I would like for you guys to do on this one. Finish this statement, but finish it for the other one.
All right. I'm not going to use the kind of language he uses on your podcast.
And then so finish the statement for the other one. If you really knew him, you would know.
You want to go first?
Whoever goes first, say obviously the name.
I need a little like noise maker right
now. You totally need some noise buttons over there.
If you really knew Josh Mitchell, you would know that he is a super softy. If he thinks he's hurt your feelings, he will beat himself up for months.
Aww.
He cannot handle it. And we're a lot alike in that way, but Josh can't stand the fact that he doesn't like to make – he'll make his point known, and he'll stand up for his band and his family and his friends.
Right.
Hell or high water. No, consequences don't matter.
Right.
But if he thinks he's hurt you, it's going to bother him, and it's going to bother him bad. And
I can relate
to
that.
Ride around with him.
I can relate to that. I can relate to that. And those people are good to have in your life. For people like us, because I relate a lot to that, you need those people that are the opposite, too, that go, it's dude, like,
screw it.
Quit worrying about it.
I can't tell you the best advice I got from my late Uncle Ed. But anytime I would complain about something, it was two words and it was six letters. And
one had an apostrophe before the E.
Yeah. And but it was one of those things, that, you know, hell with it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And,
we're just not wired that way, are we?
No,
I'm
not.
We just can't.
So
if I could say something you didn't know about Paul, for me, I think for Paul, there's nothing else Paul would rather be doing right now than playing music. You know, you go back to what we were talking about, like how hard is it to take this step? I think Paul just needed somebody to come along with him and say, hell yeah, bro, I'm right here.
I'm just as crazy as you are. But, sell your truck.
But there's nothing else. I think he could do without everything else. He's a road dog. So.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You nailed me. I think we know each other pretty well.
Oh, that's good stuff.
But we could say the exact same things we said about each other.
Yeah.
And Leos and Scorpios are not supposed to be alike.
Wait, which one's the Leo?
What's not the love?
Yeah.
Well, what can I say?
See, I'm dark and brooding. I'm already thinking about ways to those people that maybe I'm worried about. I'm thinking about how to make it better,
sure,
and fix it.
Okay. I'm Jerry Garcia.
I overthink it.
Yeah,
everything's cool.
Everything's good.
But that's not true. I wish I was
positive,
but.
Paul.
Oh my gosh, well, you guys are like a ton of fun, and I can't even tell you like all the.
If we had drink beer, this would have been even more fun.
You would snort laugh.
So next
the whole
time. Next time, Diet Miller's.
Diet Miller's?
That's what we call Miller Lite.
It's got less calories than Michelob Ultra.
Diet Miller's.
I'm just saying.
That's awesome.
Words about things.
Hey, we are going to do that next week. We're going to have a happy hour show. So here's the thing. We all come back and we'll do it that way.
We'll bring bourbon since
perfect.
We're from Kentucky.
Oh, perfect. Lord.
I'll bring the wine.
Thanks, Alex. Alex got to come back too. So
we should live stream this one.
For sure.
The next one.
We can have it like on Facebook Live. We can have all these things going on all at once.
Yeah, we're
going
to do it. Right now I want to hear about your music and actually hear you guys play. But what this song that y'all are going to play, have y'all decided which one you want to play first?
Do the single?
We should do the single, I reckon.
All right, do it. And can you tell me who, how, when, and all that good stuff?
Like Paul said, we had real jobs and we quit. And it was amazing how much better you felt when you were pursuing that passion other than, you know, just going to work every day and doing the thing that you were supposed to do.
Right.
And the name of the song is Better Now. And it was really what it was all about. You know, it was like, you know, I didn't always feel this good, but man, I do now. And I don't really know.
That was
Hadley
awesome.
Just killed herself.
That was awesome. Like we tried to hide it, but I couldn't. She like stood up, hit her head on the thing. I was like,
bless her heart.
But the if one she would, time I'm not videoing,
if she would take an Advil, she would feel the title of this song.
We should go back to overcoming failures,
right?
Of like trying to be quiet just then and just drilling your head.
Oh, that was awesome. Man. Well, gosh, that's a great story. And what we'll do here, we'll break and get the guitar tuned up and then play it for us. You good with that?
Let's do it.
Awesome.
All right, so we're Jericho Woods, and this is our new single called Better Now.
wasn't always this happy. Used to walk around in the rain. You came along and all of that changed. Used to hide in my shadow, sleeping my days away. But I found you and all of that changed. God, I think I finally found the one. I wasn't always this happy. Used to walk around in the rain. You came along and all of that changed. Better now, baby. Well, I'm better now, better now.
All right, Jericho Woods. That was, I'm not kidding. That song is going to be in my head for the rest of the day, and I'm going to try to sing it just like you, and in my head, it's going to sound just like you. Right? I'm good enough.
And doggone it, people like you.
Let's just make sure nobody else is around when I try to hit those notes. Amazing. Thank you so much.
Man. Hey, thanks for having us.
The whole show, so much fun, so talented, so much wisdom, honestly, that this is what I love about the show. I hope people are unbelievably entertained by it, and I have fun, but what I really want is people to hear, regardless if they're pursuing music or not, they learn something from you guys when it comes to pursuing their dream.
The funny thing, my students, when I was still teaching, were like, you know, you're just feeding us a line of crap.
Yeah.
You tell us we can do whatever we want.
Ooh,
You keep doing it, and here you are every day. And so,
hey, maybe that.
From the mouth of babes sometimes.
Sometimes you got to get called out, right? I don't know. Maybe that's get somebody to say, hey, call you out, and then you do it yourself.
We'll call it the loving push.
Yeah. Oh, you can fly.
That's awesome. All right. Well, how can we all follow you, find you, and all that good stuff?
We're everywhere.
Everywhere.
All the interwebs and, we're on the face pages and all that stuff.
The social media.
Just JerichoWoodsBand.com.
Yeah.
We're on Jericho Woods Band on Instagram, Jericho Woods on Twitter.
Well, y'all are going to be extremely busy. I know this, I promise. So this is what I have to have my super sick non-legal counsel, Kevin McCarty, over here say. You have the recording button hit, right?
Unfortunately. Binding contract.
Yes, that you have to come back.
We would love to come back.
Except it's going to be, if it's going to be in the morning, it's got to be
Bloody Marys.
Bloody Marys and mimosas.
Diet Miller.
I can drink Diet
Miller. It's beer, like, it's biscuits.
Yes, I was born for brunch, too. So brunch and happy hour. So
maybe we could do it on location somewhere with like barbecue or chicken or whatever. Or we can bring it in.
Let me tell you something.
We have it catered.
You just keep throwing out ideas. There's no rules. This is my show. We'll do whatever you want.
Like, so here's what I love about this guy, though.
I've already talked to the boss.
A kiddie pool and Coronas.
He's been in Nashville long enough to know. He's been in Nashville since you had to go north and east to get hot chicken.
That's right.
I'm just saying.
Right.
That makes you a true Nashvillian, or a Nashvillain, if you will.
Right.
Which sounds a lot cooler than Nashvillian.
I don't. A whole other episode can be dedicated to what Nashville used to be to what it is now. So I could go for hours on that. Yeah.
I want in on some of that.
Yeah, come on. Well, I can make this a 2-hour episode, but let's break there, and then just with the promise that you'll come back with all those. Maybe we just do all of them. You know, we just
Miller's, Kitty Pools.
Yeah, all of it.
Hot chicken.
All right,
from Prince's.
I love it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
See you then.
This has been HIDS Collecting Dust. Please support this podcast and the artists featured by going to iTunes, subscribing, and leaving us a review.